and thank you for tuning in to Faith Worship Center's weekly sermon. We hope you are inspired and encouraged by this week's message as we all live to bring more of heaven to earth.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. Full disclosure, I have no Irish ancestry whatsoever, as far as I know, at least. But, hold on. St. Patrick was actually English anyway. So, and I'll go into that a little bit. So, a little bit of what I want to talk about today is I've really been sensing this kind of progression and momentum in the Spirit. And there's some key topics I've been noticing the Lord talk to people and kind of just, you know, through our own walks, kind of raise up these things in us. And I know at the top of the year, there's a lot of mention of dreams and, you know, I think the last 2 weeks I spoke of identity and all that stuff. And I think this is all important. And it's all building up to something. So today I want to talk about, Noah, you want to hit the first slide? Hope and expectation. Refocusing our hopes and expectations and developing our own history with God. So, and I think this is really important because, you know, I really feel like the Lord wants to highlight us this year. Like, the Lord wants to bless us far beyond what we could hope for and imagine. And it's going to be super important for us to kind of raise our hopes and expectations and set them on Him so that we miss all the opportunities that He has for us this year. So I'll be talking about that, but let me just read the premise here really quick before I get started. So God wants to raise our hope and expectations to place them on Himself and what He can do, and in knowing that He will always see us through and always keeps His promises. He is our hope, our tree of life that yields fruit in us in every season. Cool. So that's the first thing. Let's start with the, next slide. Oh, next slide. Cool. So at the very top, I want to start with talking of hope versus expectation, because I think colloquially these kind of get blurred a lot, but I think it's really important to differentiate the two. Starting with expectation is our personal anticipation or interpretation of what could or should happen. And that's really important because we go into a lot of situations with our own expectations, whether they be named, thought of, unnamed, unthought of. But we all walk into situations or into the future with these expectations. Hope, and I'm going to give you the kingdom definition because I feel like the world kind of gets this one wrong. So, but hope, the kingdom definition is the eager anticipation of the fulfillment of a promise. And eager anticipation is the operating word there because to me, if you look at things from the eyes of faith and hope, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. And that's the huge thing about hope. And I want really quickly before I move on, I want to talk about, you know, I find a lot of time in sermons, faith and hope somehow get separated. And I really think it's important for us to realize that those things are intertwined. I haven't noticed a person of great faith that's not also abounding in hope. And I haven't heard a person who is abounding in hope and doesn't have faith. It's impossible to really separate those two because they really, really operate together. Next slide. Cool. So one thing I'm going to do, it might be something you're not really used to, but I really want to speak from a really real place. And my hope is to encourage you guys. You know, because we hear all these, you know, big sermons about dreams and visions, and for some of us, that's really hard to relate to. For some of us, our past experiences and things we've gone through don't give us really a platform to relate to what's being spoken. Or maybe we have, you know, just, you know, our upbringing or various things that can kind of make it really hard for us to rate our expectations. So I want to talk a little bit about that. So what are things that we... Oh, Matt, stay on that slide for a second. What are some things that we put our expectations on? Past experiences, they inform our expectations. You know, sometimes just a history of unmet expectations can train what we expect. Another thing, this is really important too, is secular events. And I think this is really important one to hit on because, man, if you rely on the report that the world gives for what you expect to happen, you're in trouble. I'll put it that way because, you know, I don't want to get into it too much, but first of all, the news has a very, very, very singular purpose. It's not in their interest, not to say this, but it's not in the interest of their bottom line to report everything good that's going on. It's not in the interest of them to report everything that's going on, just that which thrives on conspiracy. Why? Because conspiracy can get our attention. So, another thing that can, we can inform our expectations is prior disappointments or trauma. But the one thing I want to go through all this, and I don't want to spend too much time here, but the one thing I really want to hit on is that everything that we went through, everything that we've gone through, all the hardships, all the trials, all the tribulations, everything that we've gone through serves a purpose. It didn't set us back. In fact, it's a wealth that we can pull from. So I want to go into the next verse. Next slide, I think. There we go. Romans 5, 2 through 5. So I'm just going to read it really quick. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So, you see the progression there. Perseverance, the things that we've gone through in the past, are actually grounds for us to, or I shouldn't say grounds in terms of like, they shouldn't educate our expectations negatively, but they can be a platform just to say, you know what? I have a progression here. The Lord has a purpose for me, and we're going onward and upward. And so, yeah. Cool. And on that point of expectation, actually, you can keep in that slide, by the way. I just want to just talk a little bit about my own personal life, and I think it'd be cool because it is St. Patrick's Day to talk about expectations based on the story of St. Patrick. So, on the point of, personal expectation and, experience, gosh, I mean, I think all of us can relate to, we all have words or things that haven't come true yet or, things that the Lord has shown us a long time ago that just haven't happened yet. Gosh, if I was to place all my hope and expectation on these things as a laundry list of items that I'm basically holding the Lord hostage for, that they don't happen, I can't hope for anything more. I can't, I lower my expectations because, gosh, this list right here has not been met. So therefore, why expect more? Why hope for more? I'd be, that'd be, kind of a bummer. But also, it's funny because, and I want to get a little real here for a second, but, there's so many words that the Lord has given me that I would say a good majority haven't come to pass yet, but I fully, fully, fully believe, like I said, it's a question of, not a question of if, it's a question of when. And one thing that's really cool, kind of a case in point, I don't know how much you guys know this, but Lindsay and I, we both, since our first date, when we met, it's kind of funny how, we were friends for a while, but on our very first date, the question of kids came up. We've known since we were, since we were both little kids that we wanted to have kids. Like, we just knew it. We just knew it. It wasn't a question. And in fact, on our first date, I thought it was really funny because, I wanted to do, we talked about numbers, and of course, I let her share first because, it's wiser to let her share how many kids she wants first. And she was like, I really, honey, forgive me if I'm butchering some of the details. She's like, I really want to have four, but it'd be really cool maybe to adopt a fifth. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, whoa, I thought three was a lot. Oh, my God, And then she's like, well, what do you think? And I'm like, three is kind of a perfect number. You can pack them in a sedan. You don't have to get a, a minivan or an SUV or anything like that, So, but anyway, the point is that we knew we wanted to have kids, And gosh, we both, talked about and prayed that we didn't want to, really start trying to have kids until 2 or 3 years in because we wanted to enjoy, getting married in the first couple of years at least. So anyway, fast forward, we start intentionally trying. We didn't know that the journey for us was going to entail 5 years. And, seeing all our friends have kids and, we would get our hopes up and like, this is it. This is the time, And I'm using that in the secular term. I'm not saying that in the kingdom sense, but you know, we'd get our hopes up and then it just wouldn't happen. And gosh, if I had hung all my hope and my expectations on that, I'd be bitter. I'd be extremely disappointed. But like I said, I knew it wasn't a question of if. It's a question of when. And I just knew it, you know. Gosh, I can't tell you that we didn't have nights where, you know, it was rough. You know, we would just talk to each other and just, you know, Lindsay would just be like, hey, you seem a little, you know, bummed. She's like, ah, oh, it's nice hanging out with people, but it's really hard for me to talk to other people's kids because it's one on my own, you know. And, you know, kind of fast forward a little bit, you know, it's funny. We had gotten to the point that, you know, we just realized that we just need to have some fun. A lot of us talking about it. It's like, you know what? You know, it's time for you guys to have some fun. You guys need to kind of remember what it is to have fun again. And so we started praying into that. And the funny thing is, out of nowhere, I mean, God has such a funny way, almost like if you, from our perspective, kind of random way of dealing with things. But the Lord directed us down to North Carolina. And, you know, it seemed so just out of the blue. Where is this coming from? Where are the context? Where are we headed? You know? And but we both felt it, and you know, we prayed about it. We talked about it for a while, and then, you know, right when we said yes to the Lord and moving down there, I kid you not, a week later, Lindsay calls me. I'm in my desk, and she says, "Okay, I'm going to tell you something, but you got to promise not to scream." It's a bad premise because you tell me not to scream, I'm already like psyched out. You know, I'm like sitting there, it's like, okay, all right, let's just. You know, get really, really, like, flex those muscles, don't scream. And she's like, we're pregnant. I mean, I shouted, I screamed, I mean, the door was wide open because, you know, I didn't think of it, you know. I thought to myself, everybody in this building is going to know what happened, right? But, you know, in the back of my mind, you know, because we had difficulty, I thought to myself, oh, maybe this is a fluke, maybe it's a bad read. You know, all these thoughts that can kind of, you know, pollute your mind. You think, oh, maybe this is... No, it's too good to be true. Something bad is going to happen. You know, my mind went there, if I'm bluntly honest. And so what I did was, and I don't think I told you this, honey. Where's Lindsay? Hey, babe. Was that I kind of, you know, there was so much emotion riding on that I kind of gave it 50% of my emotional attention. That makes any sense? Just because I wanted to protect myself from being disappointed, because we had been disappointed so much, you know. So, you know, but you know, as it moved along, as you know, I prayed and I talked to the Lord, it was becoming very, very real. And then, you know, 3 months before, you know, having our kid, it was becoming very, very, very real. It's like, oh, this is happening. All right, I got to think less about what could be going wrong and more what I got to do to get ready to be a dad. You know, this is a big deal now. So, anyways, the whole story. Is going to be connected to what I'm, you know, talking about, and just about managing expectations and hope. But gosh, man, you know, and just you're relating it to St. Patrick. I just want to kind of go there really quick. You know, I don't know how many people know the story of St. Patrick. I might be repeating some details that a lot of you know, but he was the son of a decurion. A decurion was an elder statesman, a tax person, someone who governed a province. So he knew what it was to grow up in wealth. I mean, he had servants. He was well taken care of. Let's put it that way. He didn't know neither want. His dad was very involved in the local church. And so he grew up in a house where, you know, his needs were taken care of. His dad was very involved in the church. But, you know, in even St. Patrick's own account, he didn't really place much value in his dad's faith. And frankly, like as he puts it himself, I was quite foolish as a child. So, as the legend goes, I don't know how much this is true, but his dad told him not to go to a party with his friends, but he did. He took his servants, went to a party, and again, his expectations, his trajectory, in his mind, his trajectory is, I'm going to continue my father's legacy, I'm going to inherit all his wealth, I'm going to continue being, you know, maybe a decurion someday. That was his trajectory. That was probably where his expectation was, you know. And then, all of a sudden, he got kidnapped by Irish raiders. And taken to Ireland, where he lived in slavery for 6 years. Yeah. And the funny thing is, he actually, in his account, says he thanks the Lord for that time, because it was during that time that he was a slave, and is relegated to being a shepherd, that he actually found the voice of God and actually connected with the Lord. And the Lord actually instilled in him everything he wanted to do for Ireland, not only Ireland, but the nations. And actually, to fast forward a little bit, you know, he ended up escaping, went to France, studied at a divinity college for some years, and then the Lord called him back to Ireland and gave him this big vision of what he had for Ireland. The funny thing is, it even surpassed his own expectations. He didn't just convert Ireland. Missionaries from Ireland after he passed away actually are the main missionaries that actually spread the gospel to the rest of Europe. So they actually say during that time, because, you know, St. Patrick, you know, most of his story was around 500 AD. A lot of people actually credit Irish missionaries with bringing the gospel to the German tribes, the Polish tribes, the Russian tribes, bringing it to all over Europe. So his impact was far above and beyond what he could have expected, you know, in slavery, you know, on a hill, taking care of sheep, thinking to myself, well, my trajectory here is to be a slave for the rest of my life. He could have thought that. He could have put his expectations on, there's nowhere further than this. This is the highest I'm going to go. And stuck there. But instead, he listened to the Lord. He put his hope in him. He placed his expectations on him. Gosh, it took him further than he could have ever imagined. So, cool. Next thing I want to talk about, too, is the next sub-bullet point, is the secular events thing. I talked about this a little bit. I'm not going to spend too much time here, but I just want to, as the Lord moves us on in this year, I think the Lord has so much planned for us that I really do feel that if we let secular events inform our expectation or interfere with our hope, it can really kind of dull and make lackluster what Lord has for us. So it's really important for us in this time to stay focused on Him. And I was going to say this here. You know, I'll say two things. It's really concerning to me. This is something that I've noticed personally. It's really concerning to me when I see the people of God moving in the same spirit of conspiracy that the world's moving to. When I see, you know, like news spewing all this conspiracy, and I see the strategically minded people of God responding in kind, it's just really concerning to me, because it begs the question, where's your focus? Whose report are you believing? Whose report are you reacting to? What are you praying into? Are you letting the report of what you see in the news inform what you're praying for? Just a thought. Let's talk about raising hope. I think we've dwelled enough in the, you know, experiences and all that stuff. But let's go to, there we go. Thank you. Awesome. So, Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life." You know, one thing that the Lord kind of showed me a couple of years ago, because I had a funny relationship with this verse. I liked it sometimes, disliked it some other times, because, you know, in some instances, you know, it was like, oh yeah, oh, I know how it feels like from my experience. God, when God meets, you know, a perceived need of mine, and gosh, and it comes true, then I'm like overflowing with energy, and I'm super excited, and just so happy, you know. That's the easy part. Part of me had this like, well, yeah, that's just a natural progression to, you know, disappointment. I thought to myself, it's like, well, that's kind of a dust statement, was my reaction to it. But at the same time, you know, part of me in my younger days just to have this kind of slight fear. I was like, well, I don't want my heart to get sick. Well, what is hope deferred? What does that look like? Can I avoid it? You know? But I think the important part here is that, you know, if we put our hope in God, if we put our hope in our relationship with Him, and that is our focus, and we know that He is our righteous reward, and that at the end we get Him, and that can't cause disappointment, you know, I think that's huge. But I think it's even bigger than that, and I'm going to keep on going into it, but that to me is the key takeaway there. I think it's, you know, hope deferred makes the heart sick. This is not a cause and effect statement. This is more, you know, if you allow your hope to get, you know, be deferred, it can make you sick. Guard your heart. This is intricately connected to guarding your heart. Guarding your heart is not just shielding all the discomforts or shielding all the things that might cause you pain. That's not guarding your heart. It says, you know, guard your heart first, the wellspring of life. And that's the super important here, is to guard that which brings you life, that which the Lord has instilled in you, because he's designed each one of us in a very specific way. And when we know what brings us life through our relationship with God, and we place our hope in him, that's simultaneously guarding our heart, because we're not focused on, you know, oh, this thing is supposed to happen, oh, that thing's supposed to happen, oh, you know, and even we go through trials and tribulations, if our hope is found in him, we know who to run to. We know who can bring us back to life if we're not feeling that way. Cool. Next verse. Now, this is a really important thing because, going to the focusing your hope, you know, there's these next two verses I feel like can be used a lot of ways, but I think this really kind of educates the importance of placing our hope in Christ and the priority of that order. I'm just going to read the verses really quick. Matthew 6:20-21 says, "But lay up for yourself treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." To me, these are all connected. These are all connected. If, you know, if our hope is found in God and our treasure is found in him, and, you know, we pull from our personal time with Christ, with our personal walk with God, that keeps our priorities focused. And the other thing, too, is, you know, let's just say hypothetically, the Lord gave us everything we, you know, like it was an instant transaction, right? It was instant gratification. Let's just say that we had a thought, we wanted this thing, God gave it to us immediately. What kind of character would that build in us? What kind of strength would that build in us? What kind of determination would that build in us? We'd be completely 100% dependent on him. Not that's a bad thing, but my point is, he's really looking to co-labor with us. And if we have no ability within ourselves in our walk with God to focus on what is important and know that, like I said, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. And we're just waiting for him. If we don't have that ability, gosh, we'd just be like, emotionally, we'd just be like, or just spoiled brats. But anyway. cool, let's go to the next verse here. Matthew 6:33. And one thing you notice, the actual translations I chose are specific because I feel like they line up closest to the purpose that I'm trying to convey. But those are there for you guys to reference if you want. Anyways, Matthew 6:33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." You know, going to the point of hoping for things and expecting things, you know, if we seek the Lord daily, if we align our heart and we actually focus on him, make him the priority, we're actually putting ourselves in line to recognize all the ways God wants to bless us, all the ways that he wants to not just bless us, but to move through us on a daily basis. All right, so raising our expectations. You know, I think, you know, obviously one of the verses here that's really important is, and just to, I'll start by sharing a little thing that the Lord's been doing in my heart. You know, so for the last, 3 months, I've been kind of going on these daily walks with God. And, you know, it started out with just me, you know, with work and everything, kind of feeling a little overwhelmed. And there's so many things going on that I didn't realize. My wife kindly said, "Hey, why don't you go for a walk?" Let's put that in perspective right there. So I started going on walks with my dog. And, you know, the first time I stopped by this pond, you know, on my walk on the rail trail, and I just felt like I should stop there. And the cool thing is, I've been going on walks daily because every single time I go to this little spot in the pond, the Lord speaks to me. Like, the funny thing is, I feel like the Lord is always speaking to me, but because I've been so busy, I haven't taken the time to pay attention. And so this is cool because I go to this pond, and the first time I was there, I think I might have shared a little bit about this, I don't know. But I got to the pond, I told Daryl this story, but I got to the pond and I sat there and I had a million thoughts in my head. I thought to myself, bills, the usual suspects, bills, workload, all that stuff. I had all these thoughts in my head. And then the Lord was like, it almost felt like he said, that's nice. Hey, why don't you just stand still for a second? And I'm like, okay, now don't move a muscle. And I'm like, really? Don't move a muscle? Are you serious? Just sit there. So I just stood there. Listen to the wind. And I'm like, God, this is really slow. He's like, just listen to the wind. Look up. And I started paying attention to the way that the wind was moving on the waves of the pond. And the Lord started speaking. And it was because he had to grab all these things that I was looking at and just help me focus on just his voice. But one thing that has been really talking to me lately, and it's kind of cool, is that I've noticed that every single time I go to that pond, I when it's time to go, I talk to the Lord other times, but when it's time for me to dedicate this time of just being outside in nature and talking to him, I grab Teddy's leash. And as I put it on him and I'm walking out the door, I'm getting more and more excited. It's like a little kid. I'm like, oh, here we go, God. Here we go, here we go. Like, I'm almost thinking to myself, what if someone was looking at me? I must look really, really weird, like getting more excited and walking faster, and then stopping at this pond and staring, From, an external perspective, must be really kind of funny. But, every single time I get there, the Lord shows me the coolest things, and it taught me something. That's hope. The Lord was training my expectations on him. And then I realized, oh my gosh, I've been so distracted. I wouldn't say that it's wrong, but so distracted by, finances, so distracted. I mean, it's so easy to just, I'm kind of like Daryl, if I pop on the news or if I hop on a forum or look at something, I get so ticked off that it just derails at least my next 2 hours. And then... Lindsay's laughing. She's like, because I'll start talking to her. So, you know what's wrong about this? That's why I typically start. She's like, she's learned to say, I really don't want to hear it. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, okay. Can we just enjoy dinner? Yeah, we should just enjoy dinner. Because I'll start and I'll go on and I'll talk about, how can people lose their focus? How can people do this? How can people do this to each other? And I get all this, like, people shouldn't be doing this. They should be doing this. And I get all fired up, anyways, I don't know why I went on that tangent. There was a point to this. But anyways, I had all these things going on in my head, and the Lord just gently just refocused me. Just like, hey, yeah, things happen. Yeah, finances, yeah. Current events, yeah. How about spending time with me? And, I started doing that, and it's just like it's completely changed my perspective entirely. I'm not going into work thinking to myself that, there's this, 100 problems to fix, but we're going to only get to 10 today. Now I'm thinking to myself, I work with some really wonderful people. Like, I really do. I have a really great cast of friends I work with, people that are really cool, because I work for a company where, man, there's not many places where you go and ideas just kind of free flow and people just kind of are free to talk and give their opinions without feeling like there's competition or that we're stepping on each other's toes or anything. And blessed to have that kind of dynamic at work. So anyways, I started realizing that, gosh, my expectations were kind of blunted and informed by things that, frankly, in the scheme of eternity or in the scheme of God's purpose for me, it didn't really matter. So, there's this verse that the Lord was speaking to me last time, and I'm sure you guys know, but those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up and wheeze eagles. I don't have the verse in front of me, so I was going to do it from the NIV, but I can't. Don't have it completely memorized, but I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like, when we focus on the Lord, and waiting on the Lord is not like, it's the same thing with his promises, it's the same mentality, but you wait upon the Lord, he will renew your strength. Just wait upon the Lord. Like I said, it's not a question of if, he always shows up. If it's, most of the time where I feel like there's a delay. The delay is not him. The delay is here. I'm so focused on other things that he just needs to refocus me, you know? So, anyway, let's move on to the next slide. So, you know, this last time I was talking to the Lord, I was getting so psyched. I mean, it was really cool because I was sitting there with the Lord, and he was sharing with me so many different things that I just couldn't. It was just talking like too quick. I didn't want to tell the Lord to slow down because everything he was saying was really good. So I just kind of grabbed my phone out and I started recording. I was saying back onto my phone what the Lord was telling me so I couldn't, you know, wouldn't forget everything he was saying to me. But, you know, I was talking to the Lord and I said, Lord, I want this really to be encouraging, not just to those people, you know, that just, you know, hear a good word and just latch on and just run with it. But those people who really have a hard time with hearing, you know, talk about hope. They're hearing, you know, anything to do with big dreams, anything to do, because, you know, maybe their life expectation or their life trajectory hasn't measured up with that. And so I said, Lord, I really want this to be a blessing to everybody. So for those people who really struggle with hope, what can I say? And the Lord said something to me kind of stuck. And I'll read it here. Children who have lost the ability to play lack the ability to dream. That one hit me like a ton of bricks. And that was just like, whoo, yikes. But that's completely true. I mean, you've, not to end this, but you studied child psychology. When a child feels like there's something more expected of them than who they are, they stop dreaming, they stop playing, they start just focusing on what they need to do. And gosh, you know, like, yeah, I'm really just convinced that, you know, when the Lord says, you know, that, you know, to welcome children to his kingdom, I mean, what he's talking about is just that it's about a mindset, it's about a perspective towards God. I mean, he's our Father, we're his kids. You know, and if your life hasn't measured up, like you just feel like you've been dealing with disappointment after disappointment after disappointment, it's so easy to go into God's presence and just, because of the need, just talk to him only based on your need. It's just natural. I mean, you have so many things going through your head that, you know, that you just feel like if I just get a breakthrough in one area, you'll be different. But, you know, what if for a season, all you needed to do was just to go in God's presence and learn what it is to enjoy just being with him? I know that, you know, sounds like it's easy for you to say it, David, because, you know, you don't know my past experience. You don't know what I've gone through. You don't know, you know, all the troubles I've done. You don't know my upbringing. It's like, well, just try it. Try it. You know, and just be with the Lord. Take the agenda away. Take the laundry list of things you should be doing. Things that you feel like, oh, no, there's an urgency on this matter and I got to get an answer for the Lord. It's like, no, take that all away. Just focus on enjoying him and enjoy his presence first. I think that's really important. And a lot of the time, you know, I feel like when you know you've gone through trauma or you've gone through some personal experience that just really keeps you from thinking or expecting big things, you know, I think, you know, play is the first most important step. But I think what happens is that when you spend time with the Lord, I'm calling it playtime because, I mean, actually I'll share another kind of cool story because this is a lesson to myself. So one time, this is actually kind of funny. The Lord has a way of sometimes throwing curveballs. So I showed up to the pond, and I was all excited. You know, I was like, oh, here we go. Let's see what the Lord has to say this time. And nothing. And then I'm like, wait, it's been 2 weeks of every single time you're just like rocking my boat. What? And then all of a sudden I see this beaver just kind of go back. Just start swimming by. And then the beaver starts making sounds at me. Not angry. He wasn't warning me to go away because I know what a beaver warning sounds like. He was just trying to, my perception, chat with me. I'm like, how do you talk to a beaver? I'm like, so my adult brain is going, and I'm like, Lord, this is kind of dull. You want me to talk to a beaver? And then it's like, just pay attention. And I'm like, okay. And he just started just going on, grabbing sticks, putting them on his little dam. And then before I know, I saw two other little beaver kids. I don't know what they're called. Cubs, maybe? Cubs? I don't know. Anyway, coming out and then following it around. And then my dog, Teddy, was just like, it's so funny because I think I was so calm that he just, typically speaking, he would see a beaver. He would just be like, just like charging after trying to get into the water. But he just sat down there. And we just both sat there, you know, both of our heads going like this, watching the beavers go back and forth. And then I left there, but I felt the Lord's presence the whole time. So I knew there was a person that, but I left there and I said, thank you. I said, that was nice. It's like, Lord's like, sometimes you got to just take away all the, you know, expectations, the, you know, what's the next step, Lord? What's the next revelation, Lord? What's the next blah, blah, blah? You know, whatever our expectations are, and the Lord just wants to be with us. That beaver didn't have a care in the world. I mean, he's just grabbing sticks and playing with his kids. I mean, he didn't care, and the Lord was just having me observe that and, you know, be there. And I took it for what it was. It was nice just sitting there, enjoying the Lord's presence and enjoying his creation. You know? And, you know, and I think that's important. I think it's important when you spend time with God to just kind of lay your personal expectations, you know, all the things that you think should happen with spending time with the Lord, and just let the Lord do what he wants to do. I think that's super important. And I think as we are in that place, what we're really doing is building deeper trust. We're building deep trust. And we're learning, really, the Lord is kind of subtly aligning our hope and expectations on the fact that really, as long as he shows up, and he's always there, he's always with us, that's really all that matters. But then, as we spend more time with him and we get to know his heart, that leads to dreams. Because then it becomes, you know what would be really cool, Lord? What would be really cool? I had this thought the other day. You know, because I'm starting to have these conversations myself with the Lord. And then the Lord's like, that's a good thought. And just, you know, having these conversations. And then, you know, I've learned to open it up over the years to be like, Lord, what are you thinking about? Not just like, hey, you know what I'm thinking about, Lord? It's like, hey, Lord, what are you thinking about? You know, what's on your mind? And then that becomes, that's kind of me, the essence of collaborating. That's what spawns dreams. Because then you start seeing where you both align. And when you're both aligned, there's like, what if we did this, Lord? Go do it. I think that's really important. So for all of you guys who struggle with hearing, you know, dreams and you just feel like your experience doesn't line up, just maybe your task for the season is just developing history with God. There's this thing that Bill Johnson says, and I might butcher it, but he says that it's impossible for you to manifest that which you don't have history with God with. Because otherwise, it's topical. It's not experiential. It's just, you're trying to enforce something that you think, not that you've actually experienced by being with God. And I think that's really important. And those dreams lead to trust and fulfillment. And as Lord meets your expectations, which he will, it will build confidence and assurance of your strong purpose. I have all these things the Lord's been showing me, and I think they're just so cool, they're just hard not to share. I had this thing the same day when I was talking about, different time. Anyway, I think it was on Friday. I went and I was walking with God, and the Lord was showing me all these cool things, and I started recording with my phone, and I noticed this phenomenon happening that was really, really kind of cool. The wind was blowing. It was blowing really strong. I don't know. I'm one of those weirdos that if the wind's blowing outside, I feel this compulsion to go outside. Everyone kind of goes inside, and I'm just like, no, I want to be in the thick of that wind, and I want to feel what it is to brush up against me. Like, I think it's the coolest thing. So I'm sitting at the edge of this pond. Of course, there's no trees because I'm looking at this. It's kind of like there's trees probably, yeah, as far apart as that, and it opens up. And I'm noticing this really cool phenomenon on the pond where the wind will start blowing on the waves, but it was doing this thing where it would blow over here and start moving waves this way, and it'd blow over here and start moving things. So there's two different downdrafts happening, and it kept on going like this, and just draft over here, draft over here, draft over here. And I'm like, I'm like observing this, just fascinating. I'm like, what's the explanation for this, you know? And I think it was the shoreline that was doing that, but it started speaking to me. And I don't know why I was moved, and I was just praying there. I was like, wow, it's so cool to see the wind blow on the waves. And I just had a prayer. Again, we're just chatting, just being friends. I said to the Lord, may my heart be like those waves, that your voice can stir my heart and move my heart as it pleases. And the Lord kind of went up me. He likes to do it a lot. He said, that is true. It's like, don't worry about it being not being true. That is true. But did you know that the same voice that moves your heart is the same voice that moves mountains before you? I was just like, whoa, say that one more time, Lord. The same voice that moves your heart and gives you dreams and gives you purpose and calls you to great things is the same voice that moves the mountains for you as you move faithfully towards those things that he's called you. I was like, wow. So anyway, that reminded me. The Lord talks to me things and then reminds me of verses. I don't memorize a lot of scripture, but I find that when the Lord talks to me, he just illuminates his word. In fact, my conversations with God will actually lead me to read the Bible more because it's topical. Now, at this point, the Lord is sharing me something that I want to know, and then I got to see where it is in his word and just read up on it. So anyway, next slide, please. Here we go. So I'm going to talk on this verse, and I feel like this verse has been, you know, my honest, humble opinion has been kind of badly misused. but I'll talk a little bit about that. So I'll just read the verse, and I'll talk about it. So anyway, so here's Isaiah 55, 8 through 13. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I'm going to stop there for a second, because this, to me, has been used so terribly out of context for so long that I just need to stop and talk about it. So this has been used, gosh, to talk about sin. It's been used to talk about how, you know, basically just, you know, that we pale in comparison to the Lord, and used in kind of a very comparative mode, which honestly, the context of this verse doesn't even support that, so I don't even know where that came from, to be honest with you. What the Lord was talking to Isaiah, that doesn't even have to do with that. Basically, the Lord was calling Isaiah to do something, and what he was encouraging Isaiah was saying, anything that you think is an obstacle, or anything that you think is going to get in your way, raise your thoughts up. The differentiation the Lord was trying to make was not one of saying, I'm better than you. That was not his point. What he was saying is, if you're stuck in all those thoughts, you need to actually see things the way I see them. It's an invitation to come higher. It's not the Lord is not interested in, you know, making sure that we understand that he's bigger than we are. That's not the point. You know, anyway, and here the context is fully more reinforced if you keep on going. So then this is an encouragement to Isaiah, telling him just to do what the Lord asked him. Anyway, so we'll keep on going here. As the rain and the snow came down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Noah, can you go back? I probably should explain it to you. I'm going to kind of take this section. Oh, Christian, sorry. Christian. Yeah, there you go. So this is talking about exactly what the Lord shared with me. My thoughts in that moment were on what I wanted to be for the Lord. And the Lord said, that's good. That's all good. But my words have far more power than you realize. And that's what's going here. You know, when we have doubts, when we have, I don't know, when we feel like our personal experience doesn't line up to the words that God gives us, this is an invitation right here. It's an encouragement. It's an exhortation. It's not a challenge. Not a challenge in a negative sense. Sorry, let's just clarify. So, you know, when you think, okay, well, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, it's not saying you can't possibly think what I think. It's saying, hey, here's an invitation. Why don't you spend time with me, and I'll show you my thoughts. Just ask. You want to know what my ways are? Spend time with me. And, you know, whenever the Lord shows us something, because I really do feel, and this is, to me, this is where the rubber hits the road, I feel like the Lord has so many things that are far beyond, even like for us, you know, who have high expectations naturally as it goes, you know? I think the Lord wants to kind of just one-up us this year and do far beyond. And I think the important part is to raise our hope and our expectations so that, you know, so that when He does, you know, provide an opportunity that's beyond our means, or we think is beyond our means, we don't negate it, but we fully accept it and move towards it. And I think that's what the Lord is talking about there. All right, let's see. Oh, okay. Cool. All right, next point, please. Sorry, I forgot. I didn't finish the verse. There's more to it. This segues into my next point here. You will go out with in joy and be led forth. Is that faith? Okay, forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper. Instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. So there's a little bit of imagery going on here. Is, you know, when you move forward with the Lord calls you, right? You feel His breath, His unction. You move and you know that His breath is moving things before you. It's no longer an effort and works thing. It's now just a resting in Him. And that produces joy and peace. And it's cool that it says that, you know, we always think of moving mountains as like mountains being this antagonistic thing. You know, like there's this kind of just this kind of thought that the mountains are in my way and they need to get out of my way. And it's like, well, the Lord created the mountains, so I don't think they're antagonistic. I think they just need to be asked to move, using that imagery. The thing that's cool is the mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. And this next part here is, again, more imagery here. So, you know, thorn bushes and briars were the bane of any agricultural society. Because if you're planting crops, if you're planting any kind of thing that you want to grow, gosh, there's so much imagery in all cultures of, you know, just, you know, briars coming and taking it over, thorn bushes, you know, growing in the middle of your crops, making it hard for you to produce your crops. But here's the imagery. Juniper and myrtle are both aromatic plants that don't compete with crops. In fact, they keep bugs away. So what is it saying? As you burst forth with joy, believing what the Lord has called you, believing in His promise, you know, placing your hope and expectation in Him as you walk around, our perspective begins to change. The things that we thought were obstacles simply move out of the way. And then, even those expectations that we still haven't submitted to the Lord, He turns them into beautiful fragrances. Thorn bushes to junipers, briars to myrtle. I don't know if you guys caught that, but I thought that was really cool imagery. Just talking about, again, the power of the Lord's voice on our lives and when He calls us to do something. Okay, anyway, that's a little aside. Can you get the next slide there, Christian? Cool. So this next part I want to talk about is legacy, faithfulness, and testimony. And this is more talking about what the Lord has been sharing with me as of last week. But one thing too is important to remember is the fruit of hope. If you really hope, not in the sense, the world sense where it's like, you know, it's not just wishful thinking. Oh, I hope I get that toy this year. Or I hope I get that. You know, I remember the thing I wanted, actually, it's cool, my dad actually got me for me one Christmas, but it was the C-130 Hercules, you know? And I really was like, oh, I really hope, Lord,
please, I'll serve you faithfully if I just get that C-130 Hercules. I'll do anything you ask. I just want that C-130 Hercules. And all those plastic planes anyway.
But when it's just, you know, wishing, it's just well wishing. But when you operate in hope and your hope is found in Him, what is the fruit of that in your life? Gladness and joy. Proverbs 10:28 says, "The hope of the righteous is gladness, but the expectation of the wicked perishes." I think that's a kind of cool verse, because when we place our hope in Him, the fruit of that is gladness. It's funny, the world kind of places all kinds of expectations. I mean, you'll see this in the media. If you pay attention for more than 5 seconds, the narrative becomes clear here. Our expectations are that this is going to happen. Our expectations are that's going to happen. Our expectations is that this is going to happen. And if you pay attention to their expectation too much, you know, it can distract you. But I think it's important to know that, you know, things that are not placed in the Lord, that's a very shaky ground. Anyway, moving on to the next thing. I had this cool thought. Actually, you could stay there, Christian. Thank you. I had this really cool thought, and it connects to the idea, again, of just relationship and building a history with the Lord. You know, for some reason, you know, my whole life, I mean, have you guys heard of the Bema, Seat of God, at all? Have any of you guys heard about that at all? I don't want to get too far off topic, but so it's a judgment seat of God. You know, it's been used a lot of times erroneously, you know, in the past. But, you know, basically, you know, the premise is at some point we're all going to give an account for all our deeds to the Lord, right? But, you know, this is just my personal thought, and this is something I was talking to the Lord about. But, like, it's like, yeah, someday, you know, we're all going to have to give account to the Lord. But, you know what I see myself doing? This is my hope that someday, when I sit in front of the Lord, I just give Him a recounting of all the ways He's been faithful, of all the times He's been there, of every breakthrough that I didn't see would ever happen that happened. And as I give an account of my life through my lens, through the lens of His providence, a smile starts coming to the Lord's face. As I say, it's you, Lord. No, it's you, Lord. No, it's you, Lord. You made a way. You made a way. You did this. You were there. You were always there. And I had this thing, you know, it's funny, like, you know, there's this verse, I think it's in Revelation, where it talks about the Lord will, you know, basically, you know, say one thing, and then the angels will, you know, say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty," you know, all things. Like, what if as we present our testimony to the Lord, the angels start saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty"? Because it's not speaking about our inadequacies. It's not talking about what we did. It's a full account of His faithfulness. And gosh, it'd be really kind of sad if we went through the life and we didn't have an accounting of our own walk with God, our own history with God. Because hopefully when we get up there and we talk about it, we know right where to start. We know exactly what to say, because we're in that mode. We're like, I know where You've taken me, Lord, in my walk, in my life. I'm done reacting to life. I'm living it in relationship with You. And as I walk with You, my hope goes higher and higher. And as I walk with You, my trust in You goes higher and higher. My faith goes higher and higher. And then my expectations skyrocket. Why? Because I know who I serve. I know who I'm friends with. And I know what He's capable of. So, yeah. And I think that, you know, kind of going back to Bill Johnson's thing about, you know, can't manifest what you haven't experienced. I think, you know, going back, you know, full circle to the whole dreams and identity, I think I can't reiterate the importance in this season of spending time with God, focusing on what He has for us, what He wants to do through us. You know, You know, I'll just, this is kind of an aside, but the one thing that I always liked about, this is kind of completely off topic for a second, but of Japanese culture, and I was talking to Serena about this, we thought it was fascinating, is that, you know, they will devote themselves to the study and discipline of one thing that they feel called to. So if you're a blacksmith, you know, you devote your entire life to being a blacksmith. You tell a blacksmith all about politics, you couldn't care less. Tell a blacksmith, you know, the importance of archery, couldn't care less. But he knows how to make those tools, he knows how to make those arrows, he knows how to make those swords. And I think it's important when we spend time with God to really, you know, as we build history with him, understand why we're here, what the Lord wants to do through us in every situation, and not get distracted by all the problems that the world throws our way. Because I think that, and I've noticed very often that the church tends to react with a false sense of urgency. We hear a report and we're like, oh, well, there's this. And it's like, well, maybe you shouldn't have said anything because maybe it wasn't your responsibility to respond. That's not your task. So anyway, I think it's really important for us to really understand, you know, as we develop our own walk with God, what we're here for, and not get distracted by, you know, other things. I mean, case in point, you know, gosh, you know, one nice little comparison that Bill Johnson does is I remember when we were in the first year of school ministry, he was talking a lot, and he used to always use this contrast, and to me it was always kind of striking. You know, as an 18-year-old going through the school ministry, you know, I just started recognizing the Lord's voice. I was starting just to build history, so I was excited. To me, I was like, oh, yeah, let's revival coming in 6 months to a neighborhood near you. You know, like I was all like, you know, yeah, let's go, rah, 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 rah. And Bill Johnson, you know, preached this message, and he was like, you know what? Some of you guys are going to change the world by doing crusades and by praying for, you know, the sick and, you know, raising the dead. And some of you guys, you know, you're going to do the work of the kingdom by just breaking generational curses and being good parents, being good fathers, being good mothers. You know, the Lord might have a call on your life, and you know, you just have this calling for, I don't know, I'm just going to throw something out there. You have this, you know, you want to talk to, you want to speak at arenas. You want to, you know, speak to people of all areas of life. You want to go around the world talking about the gospel. That's, you know, that's one vision, and it's totally valid. But some people might just have a vision to, you know, build a good family, develop a legacy. That's equally as valid. And I think that with that being said, I think in the visions God gives us, in the high callings he gives each one of us, there's also a focus. You know, like, imagine if, this is a hypothetical, but imagine if the guy that, let's just say that his specialty, you know, he just wants to raise the dead. Let's just say hypothetically, he wants to raise the dead, let's just say, right? That's his thing. Starts telling me about, you know, how I should preach about, I don't know. I'm getting off topic, but the point is, like, again, I think it's really important for us just to stay focused on what the Lord has for us, not to get distracted, even for things that are reserved for others. I think that's the important part there. All right, I'm gonna do one more point here, and then I'm gonna close with some prayer. But you know, it's funny, as the Lord was talking to me, and this goes back to the importance of building history. The Lord said to me something very stark, and it's like, a lot of people know a lot about me, but a lot of people don't know me. And how many times have people that know a lot about God but don't know him, you know, say things or do things that kind of screw things up, you know? And, you know, in my life, I'm way more intentional and focused in building a life of knowing God personally. I'm, you know, as I get older, because there's just so much to know, I'm less and less interested with being fluent in knowing about God. I'm way more interested in being fluent in my own walk with God. And I think really that's where identity is rooted. That is literally where, you know, our influence and our impact is strongest, is when we relate to the world, not from theoretics, but from our own personal walk. And I think the Lord, you know, I think the Lord has literally answers for the whole world based on our own walk. I really feel like this year more than ever, the Lord is going to bring people into our life or situations in our life where it's an invitation to speak life into a situation. And if we're speaking from just knowing about God and we haven't invested into time with God, you know, I think it's really important for us to develop that history. And I just want to just say one more thing. I really feel like, again, the Lord has huge things for us this year that above what we could expect. And as we walk with Him and we put our hope and expectations on Him, I think we'll find our expectations going up. I think we'll, you know, our hope obviously will go up because we're spending time with Him. And then from there, that'll be just a well of gladness and joy in our lives. And I think, like it says there in that verse, it says, the hope of the righteous is gladness, but the expectation of the wicked perishes. You know, I think as the world tries to build their systems of what they think works, you know, I think it's not going to work. And I think we can be a beacon of hope. We can be a city on a hill, just overflowing with God's hope. You know, the world will come to us with all issues and what they lack hope for. What if in our walk we had hope for them? What if we could speak to them? You know, I'm just gonna touch on two more things, and then I'll pray. I promise. I'm wrapping it up. But there's two verses. I was actually sitting with my wife, we're watching a show, and the Lord was talking to me. And it's like, you know, He said exactly that. It's like, you know, not just about having hope for yourself. It's about having hope for others. It's about having hope for this nation. It's about having hope for New England. It's about having hope for our families. And that needs to be the perspective that we approach those situations. Because if we're not approaching it from, you know, just an overflowance of hope, then we're going to try to fix things and right things in our own, by our own means. Not from an abundance of hope perspective, but an I can fix this perspective. And there's two quick references. Ezekiel 37:1-9 talks, you know, Laura's talking to Ezekiel about can these dry bones live? I think what that was a test of two things. I think the Lord was testing Ezekiel's faith and hope. Do you have hope for these bones? Where's your heart at, Ezekiel? It's funny because, you know, Sim actually, last week, I just got to share this because I almost forgot. I was going to share it at the beginning, but I thought the word you gave right after worship last week was just like, I had to turn around because I burst out laughing because I was like, that's actually what my sermon's about. It's about raising our expectations and our hope. And you quoted Romans 8:20-28, right? I think it was what you quoted, right? Okay, yeah. But yeah, I thought that was perfect. But I think this is, you know, it's important for us not to get our report from, I'm going to say quite poignantly, If your expectation for this country is completely informed by CNN or Fox News, you're in trouble. Because, gosh, I mean, I can't. The reason why I think I get so annoyed is that it lacks hope. It's like my God doesn't see things that way. And in fact, it's funny, the more I focus on Him, the less I need to interact with people with inflammatory remarks. It's like, oh, I don't need to talk to that. I don't need to talk to you. I know what my God says about this situation. And it's not a confrontive thing. It's not an adversarial thing. It's just, I just don't need to engage with you. I just don't need to say anything. You know, you're coming from a place of hopelessness, and I have hope, and, you know, That's just the end of it. I think the other thing too, and this is huge. It's been, you know, one thing that, and I'll be transparent for a moment. That's been one of my, I think, my biggest call. I don't know what it looks like yet, and I haven't. You know, Laura's starting to develop expectations and hope in this area, but this is really what my vision is for my own life. You know, when one time I remember in first year, you know, Bill was talking about the importance of turning the hearts of the fathers towards their sons and sons towards their fathers. You know, I really feel like there's a war going on. And the devil is completely interested in turning one camp against the next. Because what's the oldest play in the book? Divide and conquer. That's military strategy 101. The enemy is bigger than you are. You have to divide and conquer. And, you know, I really feel like, you know, we can, I don't want to get too much into the weeds, but as the world tries to further their agendas, I think it's important for us to look at that from the perspective, from God's perspective, from hope's perspective, because the truth is, they might talk about all the differences and how, you know, us older, I mean, this is crazy. This is the crazy part. I'm now one of the older crowd, apparently, according to social media. I have nothing good to say to these young folk, apparently, according to them. You know, I don't believe one ounce of it, by the way, just to make sure that's perfectly clear. But, you know, it's just like, you know, I refuse to believe that I don't have anything to share. I don't have anything to give. If anything, you know, I think these kids lack identity. They need hope. They need people who believe in them way more than they believe in themselves. Just like people believed in me more than I believed in myself when I was a kid. It's no different. But anyway. All right, I just want to pray really quick. Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing. There really is a momentum going on here in New England. You know, like Daryl said, you know, Desiring His Heart for Revival in New England, and I really do feel like I just don't know what it looks like yet, but Lord, you're doing something big. You're doing something far beyond what we could ever imagine, Lord, and we partner with that, Lord. We raise our, you know, wherever our hearts are at, Lord, we raise our hope and we place it in you. We raise our expectations and we place our expectations on what you can do. Lord, we believe that you have great things, and revival in England, revival in this nation, a change in the culture, all that stuff, it's not as far away as we would think. It's not as a big of a mountain as we would think, Lord. Lord, and as we wait upon you, we will press in, we'll lean into your heart and hear what's on your heart, and listen to you and hear what's on your mind and what you think and what you feel, Lord. And we will partner with that. And Lord, we just thank you in advance for what you're going to do this year. Thank you for all the blessings that you have in store for us this year. In every dimension, finances, family, schools, all that stuff, Lord. We just thank you for what you're going to do. And we just love you, Lord. Thank you. You are faithful, Lord. We love you. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to this week's message. If you'd like more information about our church, visit faithworship.org. Thank you.